Right, Paul White joins us. Paul, how are you? USA Today, formerly in retirement. But I can't believe you retired. You still go to baseball games.
Of course I do.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, it's just not getting paid for it.
All right. Well, you live in the Washington area, and I was just talking to Andy Baggerly about it. Bryce Harper the other night was throwing to the plate, and I watched the game, and his left leg went out from under him. It looked like a strained hamstring. He grabbed it right away. And I bring it up for this reason. One, the season he's having is just off the charts, so you tell us about that. But two, if he goes on the DL, he may miss the Giants, who come in over July 4th weekend.
He's in the lineup today.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yes.
That's that story. Okay.
The Nationals are very, very tight-lipped about any kind of injuries. So, of course, everybody always fears the worst because they never tell anybody anything. In fact, club policy, they will not even give you an injury update in-game. You have to try to find out after the game what's going on. And even yesterday, Matt Williams was, we'll see. And everybody's a little gun-shy because in spring training, they started telling everyone Anthony Rendon was day-to-day, and he finally showed up in, the end of May, early June. But Harper's back in there, and that doesn't seem to be anything serious.
What a season he's having. We fool around the question, if you could start a team today, who would you pick? And, God, I asked Ray Fossey that the other night, and he says Mike Trout right away. Everyone says Mike Trout. I would take this guy.
This guy's interesting. Very interesting stat. You probably heard it. Last week when they played the Yankees, it was the first time in his major league career he had faced a pitcher younger than him, 3.5 years in. That's what we forget about, how young this guy is. He's just learning how to be a major leaguer. And I still think last year's series between the Nationals and the Giants is as disastrous as it was from the Nationals' standpoint. The one pure positive that came out of that for them was that Bryce Harper realized he could be the man. With key hits in big moments in that series, even though they didn't win the series. Harper, that was his coming out party, and I think it was kind of lost in the Giants winning that series. But since day one this season, he's combined that kind of confidence. When a guy's brash and cocky like Harper is, you just assume he's supremely confident. Well, that's not always the case. Sometimes all that stuff on the outside is a bit of a facade of protection. But I think he finally realized he really is as good as the press clippings. And because he's so much younger than everybody else, he's only going to get better.
Yeah, I believe it. I really do. Paul White with us. How should I describe you these days? You're still a sports writer, I take it.
Yeah, sure. I used to joke that when somebody describes themselves as a journalist, that means they're unemployed.
Right.
They're unemployed, whatever they are, editor, writer, et cetera. So I guess that's what I am.
All right. Paul White, who used to be important, is now. All right. We have a person, Tony Salvador, who we love, and he gave me his business card. I used to be somebody important. I talk about Tony, and of course, his father in the 50s or 60s said to him, last time I said this was the 40s, he got insulted. But the story of baseball is pitching, 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 Tony. I tell you this, and it still is. And I bring it up to you because the Nationals have not hit their stride with the pitching. And, we think of Zimmerman and the great game against the Giants. Roark is on the DL. Strasburg, you tell me what's up with him. Scherzer looks like he's the best. But Gio Gonzalez, happened to the vaunted Washington pitching staff?
Yeah, exactly. Strasburg injuries. Fister's been out for a big chunk this season. Gio Gonzalez has been very inconsistent. If you look at it, he's been very inconsistent for a couple of years now. Roark, I think they did him a disservice. They threw him back in the rotation with some injuries, and he wasn't stretched out. He had been pitching sporadically out of the bullpen. He's just now kind of finding his way. The Zimmerman one is the very interesting one because Ian Desmond was benched last night. Matt Williams said, they're giving him a day off. I talked to a couple people. No, he was benched. He hasn't been performing at all. And Desmond and Zimmerman are the two guys who are in their contract years and are not particularly responding well. Zimmerman will show you flashes, and then he looks horrible. And he's starting to look a lot like Strasburg in the sense that the damage control is not good. Strasburg's biggest problem has been when he gets in trouble, you can see the wheels out there churning, and he's thinking, and he's walking around the mound, and he thinks way too much, overthinks it, and it gets in his head. And Zimmerman started to do that a little bit this year. And, you know, I always say when I'm looking to sign a free agent, I like to see what happened in his walk year, because there's no bigger pressure on a guy individually to have a big year in your walk year to prove you get that big money. And if they don't fare well in that, that tells me a lot about the guy's makeup, stuff I wouldn't be able to find otherwise if I was a team thinking to sign him.
Wow, very good. Paul White talking some ball with us. The Giants go in there over July 4th weekend. I hope we can talk to you that weekend. We'd usually talk to you on the major holidays as well. But can Washington lose this thing? I mean, I'm looking at the Mets and DeGrom and Nice and Syndergaard and, you know, Cologne and people like that. Can they lose it? Can Washington lose this thing?
Well, that's how the Mets will finish first. Washington will lose it. What is the Mets winning percentage right now? Like 522, 530, something
like
that?
They're both right around there.
It's the worst winning percentage for any division leader. The Mets have done well. If the Nationals were playing the way they should, the Mets wouldn't be in first place. They wouldn't be close. They'd be four or five games behind probably right now. It's really a matter of what the Nationals do, and it's so difficult to measure. We've talked about this team for a couple of years, been the vaunted power of at least the NL East, if not the league. People picking them to win the World Series season after season. And the longer this goes on, the more you wonder how much is in their heads. And as this season goes on, if this remains a race, I mean, the Mets are playing with house money. This is the, hey, look at us. This is fun. We're on the rise. We're, you know, they remind me a lot of, say, the Cubs, who we weren't expecting to quite be there yet this year. And maybe they're getting there a year early. And you know, the pressure's going to be on the Nationals. They're going to hear about it. They're already hearing about it from their fans. What's the matter? How come you guys haven't blown this division wide open? And they do have problems. They've had injuries, key injuries, a bunch of them. They have some real bullpen issues. Drew Storen's been fine as the closer, but getting to Storen from the starters has been a real difficult proposition. I think they made a huge mistake. They let almost 200 relief innings walk after last season from Tyler Clifford and Ross Detweiler and Rafael Soriano. And, you know, they haven't been able to replace that.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad that we're talking about this, because as I say, the Giants go in there. Everybody in the world picked the Nationals to win the National League pennant this year. This could be an interesting story. It really could. And starting pitching not in the top six in the National League, and that generally tells you a story about what's going on with the ball club. Wow, interesting. All right, we'll follow that. I'm glad to get your take on that. The All-Star game is coming up, and it's going to be in Cincinnati. I saw Pete Rose on TV. Have you seen him on Fox yet, to see his little thing where he stands up and gives you his opinions?
Yeah, I have.
He looks like Phil.
Pure Pete. Yeah,
he looks like Phil Hartman when they made him look like Frankenstein. Remember, you know, with
exactly.
With the caveman and Tano and Frankenstein. I'm telling you, he does.
You're right. It's almost like a.
They did
it's
something.
Almost like is it? Are we being serious there, or are we supposed to laugh?
Really, they made it. Really, he looks like Phil Hartman, and then Saturday Night Live when they did the Frankenstein thing with his hair and everything else, but. The All-Star game's coming up. It's in Cincinnati, and the Reds will not make any trades before the All-Star game because it'll look bad. Meanwhile, they're starting to win a little bit. But this All-Star game could end up being one of the most interesting ever because of the voting. And it also may be the last one where World Series is decided by an All-Star game because of what's going to go on with this voting.
Yeah, I've been of a mind since we got into this crazy situation, all because Bud Selig got embarrassed in his hometown one night. We have this silly idea of the All-Star game that determines a World Series home advantage. The only good thing about if the Royals fans vote in their entire team, at least if the game's close, the game's decided by the real All-Stars. Because the guys who deserve to be there, the guys, the best players, are the guys who are going to come in the game in the fifth inning, and they're going to determine the game. I guess that's the only bright side of this whole thing. But, you know, the bottom line of this is, look, it's an exhibition game. It's for the fans. It's fun. If we're going to let them vote, I don't care what happens. but let's not make it mean anything. Let it be an exhibition game.
Yeah, I said it on the show this week, last week, and we had fun with it. We'll do it this weekend as well and up to the time of the game. But re-entry, you know, let Miguel Cabrera be in there hitting against Kimbrel in the ninth inning. Why would you want to see Omar Infante in there against Kimbrel?
But if Omar Infante starts, great. We got all these other guys in the game, belonging the game later on. But no, I know what you're saying. And it's a problem. And you know, the silly thing about the All-Star voting is, All-Star voting theoretically should be like a 2-week window. Because if you voted in May, what are you voting on?
That's interesting.
You're certainly not voting on performance. If I'm going to vote, I'm waiting until the last week when I have the full sample size and figure out who really deserves to be there.
How about this? That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. But someone suggested that, you know how the Hall of Fame does a filtering process and says you can only vote for these people on committees and things like that? Why not have that with the All-Star voting and have that in June, where a panel of baseball writers and everyone gets together and they say, okay, these are the players potentially as All-Stars, and those are the ones you vote for? Or is it just such a fan's game that you don't want to mess with it?
Well, I think at this point you really are stuck with, if you take anything away from the fans at this point and if you limit their input in this, I think Major League Baseball is afraid of the backlash. They've taken something away from the fans. That's a great point. It probably makes it a better process, but I think they'd be afraid to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, we're going to let you go on this one. A-Rod, and I had this discussion with Andy Baggerly just recently on the show. I look at Bonds, I look at Clemens, I look at A-Rod. They are amazing baseball players. I don't care what they did or how they got there. Just to be able to get in that stratosphere of baseball players. But for A-Rod, the personal stuff just somehow means more than to the other guys. But they're amazing baseball players.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I think in every case like this, it's like, why did you guys have to go and do that stuff? You didn't need to. You were Hall of Famers, All-Stars, the whole thing, MVPs before that, you know. I mean, I still don't get it. I had this discussion recently with my son about A-Rod. I don't get it for those guys. I understand it for a guy who was marginal and just trying to get to the big leagues. You know, they had to get himself over the top when he saw other guys doing the same thing. But he didn't need to. This is about ego, and this is about character. It's not about desperation trying to make some money. And these guys didn't need to do it. And I guess that makes me more angry about it than say a utility infielder who took something just trying to get there.
Yeah, but I put him up there with Bonds. I put him up there with Clemens. I think what he did from 19 years old forward is just unbelievable. Even with all the stuff he did along the way, you still had to see the ball and hit the ball and get it done. And so I don't like it. I don't like him. I don't like his credibility. But as a baseball player, the guy is amazing.
Oh.
And it's unfortunate.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Paul, thanks so much. I hope to get you on July 4th weekend, as we always do.
I expect to be in town. Actually some relatives in the Bay Area will be in town. I think we're going to go to the Sunday night games.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll get you on before that. We've got a night. That's
now that it's the primetime game. Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I'll be on 1 to 4 Pacific on that Sunday. All right, we'll get you on. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks, Randy.
All right. That is Paul White, formerly of USA Today, a journalist and a great baseball man. All right, more coming up right here in the Sports Leader.